The following podcast is a part of the Spin Studio Network.
Welcome back to Flourish and Fulfilled. Now, I did just want to mention before we get started in today's episode, a trigger warning. We do discuss domestic violence, sexual abuse, and mental health issues. Today's guest is a very special one, and I love the fact that every guest that I have on here, I have a personal rapport with or I've worked with myself, and this one is no exception. So Laura is a holistic psychologist, and we met on less than ideal terms, I would like to say. So I had just left a really toxic relationship and had been started, I guess, to get diagnosed with PTSD and had come out the other end of a really bad situation where I was potentially going to end up on medication, and I just didn't know how to get out of the situation I was in. And then, of course, along came Laura. So welcome to Flourish and Fulfilled, Laura.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here.
Now, I really love the fact that when I have guests on that we personalize it a little bit more so that the guests can get to know you on a personal level as well as like on a professional level too. So I'm going to ask you some fire questions to get started. Sure. So first one is, where did you grow up?
Well, I'm from England originally, from a little place called Wigan.
Okay.
And then from there, it's a little like sublet place called Ince.
Okay. And how long have you been in Australia?
It's coming up to 20 years now I've been here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you have any children?
I do. I have two beautiful children, a daughter that's 17 and a son that is 4.
I've said this to you before, but I absolutely love the fact that that resonates with me so well, having such a big age gap as well and different ages at different circumstances and
Yeah.
Do you have a favourite book?
Oh, I have so many. But the one that I'm reading at the moment, which I'm loving, is Biology of Belief.
Okay. Best way to de-stress?
Oh, I think it has to coincide with my value, which is connection.
Yep.
So it's either connecting with beautiful people, connecting with nature, swimming, bushwalks, or connecting with myself. So that's stillness.
Yeah, awesome.
Yeah.
Favourite food?
Oh, God, I love to eat.
Same. I have been eating so much lately, which is not good because I haven't been training, but that's like all I have been doing.
Yeah, just, I mean, food is just amazing, but I think at the moment that I'm loving is the poke bowls.
Oh, yeah, they're
good.
What's your favourite? Salmon, tuna?
Salmon.
Yeah.
Has got to be my favourite at the moment.
If you could give your life a movie title to date, what would it be?
I would say The Never Ending Journey.
Oh, yeah, that's beautiful.
Yeah,
that's really nice.
So true.
Mine would be like chaos erupts or something horrible. What's a mantra or a quote that you live by?
I had quite a few for this, but I would say that everything in life is a lesson.
Yeah.
Like basically the way that I look at things, I used to project a lot of anger towards it, where now it's like, what is this teaching me?
Awesome.
What is this person teaching me? What is this situation teaching me? So everything is just a reflection of a lesson.
I love that.
Yeah.
Now let's get into professional life a little bit more.
Yes.
What is your career title?
My career title at the moment is a holistic psychologist.
Mm-hmm.
So I basically adopted that title due to changing. So traditional psych is my background, and then worked into more energy healing breath work. So I'm working with the body as well.
So how long did you do traditional psych? Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, sure. So I did my undergrad honours and then went into working in the government for at least 10 years. So first of all, working in corrections, which was a beautiful experience, and then went into adult mental health units all through South East Queensland, and then went into addictions.
Okay.
So that whole envelope of experience, as you can imagine, and the research that, not that I was doing it specifically, but the stories that I was hearing from people just had a constant theme of trauma. And the one thing that I noticed that I didn't feel we got taught in uni at all, or we get taught on the job specifically, is trauma-informed care. Okay. So I just saw a lot of people still suffering from things that they'd experienced in childhood. So I, being, you know, I guess I'm a researcher, but not on paper, more with people. Mm-hmm. And I just want to get to, how can we actually change this? Like, you don't have to live this way. You don't have to keep suffering. And for me, I don't know why, but intuitively, long term, like sessions for 8-10 years, I didn't understand why we weren't getting to any resolve within that time. Not that I'd ever actually had a client for that long, mm-hmm. but I would often have people come to me saying that they'd been with a therapist for such a long time, mm-hmm. where with me, I would feel there was an injustice to that person's recovery, and I would outsource or resource more available things that would be more efficient for them. But I used to just be like, there's something deeper. There's something that we're not getting to. And when I learned about trauma and allowing people to be seen and heard for who they are, as well as the stories, it kind of clicked that there's subconscious elements that need to be looked at, and it's the beliefs and the perceptions that were formed at such an early age that are still cycling into our future, creating these relationships and, you know, these decisions and choices that were just repeating our life and creating more chaos and suffering. So I was like, I need to get to what's going to actually resolve this. And that's when I became a practitioner in emotional freedom technique and the matrix re-imprinting. Mm-hmm. And then more recently in breath work, sound healing, all of that stuff. So I can have a multitude of modalities.
And you definitely always use the more holistic approach now.
Absolutely, yeah. It's the first thing I go into. So, you know, talk therapy is still important. Like I said, we need to be seen and heard. But I want to get to the subconscious elements. And that's what's stored in the body, basically, or within the energy field that's been there for many years.
Yeah, it's so amazing. And obviously, I've worked with you for a couple of months, so I know how it works. But for those listening, I'm not going to say it's woo-woo, because as you have said to me so many times previously, it's scientifically backed. Can you kind of provide a little bit more into how it is? Like, what is EFT?
Well, EFT is the shortened version for emotional freedom technique. And what it basically does, it works on the meridians of the body. So a bit like acupuncture. So we have an energy flow that runs through the body, and it's often disrupted by trauma, and energy becomes blocked. So when we're tapping on these specific meridians, we're able to unblock that energy that's trapped and allow the energy to flow more freely and release from the body. So, you know, and it does sound very woo-woo, but it is all about scientific evidence-based. I don't do anything that isn't.
Yeah.
But it's quantum physics, it's science, it's energy. You know, we have a field, a 6-foot field of energy outside of us. And within that energy are these little inner children or aspects or fragments or segments or whatever, you know, language you want to use. And we need to get to them, because they're still outside in this field saying, help me. Like, I still want to be needed. I still want to be loved. I still want attention. I still want all these things. But what they do is they create these cycles within our now to look for that resolve that we needed back then. So the EFT releases the emotions in the body relating to this, and then the matrix re-imprinting, that's the beautiful part of it, is that we can then go into when the subconscious locks this memory, which you've seen. You're like, oh my God, I don't even know where that's come from.
Yeah, well, so I was going to get to that. But so before we get started in regards to that, does tapping work, and what does like a standard session look like?
Yeah, so basically tapping works, like I said, on the meridians. Mm-hmm. It unblocks the flow of like any blocks in the body so the energy can flow freely. It's scientific. It's known to reduce you know, major symptoms of mental diagnosis. Mm-hmm. But I often don't work with diagnosis. I believe that the symptoms are a messenger. Mm-hmm. So I don't do labels and all of that stuff. I work at the symptoms, and then we go, okay, there's trauma here. We need to release it. So that's that element. So by when we tap on the meridians, the emotions unlocked, because as you can imagine, when emotions rise, our IQ and prefrontal cortex drops. We can't think. We've all been in that where we're like so emotionally heightened. We make all of these irrational decisions. So whenever you're emotional, do not make decisions in that time. Regulate first.
Track your cycles.
Yeah. So when we're able to tap and regulate ourselves, we then our mind kicks in and releases these memories.
So in a standard session, how does that look?
Well, my standard session's very dependent on the person that I work with, but I don't traditionally have 50 to 60 minute sessions. Mm-hmm. It's a minimum of 90. So sometimes like one of our sessions has often gone for up to 2 hours. It depends what's going on. So I like to talk to you first, because again, I want you to be seen and heard. I want to hear about the week. I want to hear about any challenges, because often the challenges are the triggers.
Yeah.
And under the triggers are the beliefs.
And I know that for myself as a personalized example is that when I first met you, I wasn't sleeping. I was having severe nightmares. I had flashbacks. I couldn't function. I had a stutter. And that's only been, 2 months?
Yeah, two months.
No medication, nothing, just really intense sessions doing this. And I guess I was a little bit, I wasn't skeptical because I didn't actually know or understand what was happening during those sessions. Yeah. But one of my first sessions we tapped on, I had this memory and I was like, I don't even want to say, because the first thing that you actually ask is, how old are you in this memory? Mm. And I was like, oh, I don't want to say what I'm thinking because it's 3. And you're like, yep, perfect, let's go there. And I was like, how am I possibly going to remember that?
Yeah.
And it's very, very weird how it actually happens.
Yeah, it's something that you can't explain because, again, subconscious is below awareness.
Mm.
So a logical mind starts, and that's where the self-sabotage comes in. The logical mind wants to give you all of the reasons why it's not true.
Yeah.
I remember, I think, in one specific session, you're like, oh, my mind wants to say 6, but I feel like I'm 3.
Yeah, and you were like, go three. I was like, no, we'll stick with 6. 6 is safe.
And then when you actually went through it, you went and did the math, you were like, I would have actually been 3.
And it was so scary because, like, for me, that memory was in a childcare centre.
Yeah.
And it had to have been correct. Yeah. But my logical mind was like, no way.
Yeah.
I can't remember something from when I was 3, and why has this got any relevance to me right now?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's amazing. You know, often I've been with clients that have gone in utero.
Yeah.
So they've been in mum's womb and they've heard something from external, because we're so conscious to what's going on even when we're just still a fetus.
Yeah.
And that's the amazing part of this work, is that the memories store in our subconscious mind and we're not aware of them, but we still live in the cycles and on autopilot, just going along in our day and going, why do I keep meeting the same people? Why do the same relationships keep happening? Why do I keep ending up in this same situation in my career?
Yeah.
And it's because of these subconscious memories that we have and these limiting beliefs.
And all of these limiting beliefs that we then bring to our forefront and remember, we then go back and change.
Yes.
And so this I found incredibly powerful, because memories that I guess weren't exactly ideal outcomes or have left me pretty scarred, we were able to change and then leave them as an empowered memory.
Yeah.
How does that even work?
I know. It's it gives me goosebumps still thinking about it, because it's just so magical, because even though I'm holding this space, it's you doing all of the work, and that's what I love about this. You know, I'm no expert and never profess to be. I just hold a really nice space for people to go in and do their own healing and on their own reparenting on their inner children. So that's the part that I love about it. So it's more kind of like when we go into the memory, it's having a chat to our younger versions of ourselves and just listening to what they actually want to say, because it's the first time they're being heard. And there's been times where, you know, and I think you've probably witnessed this, where you're like, oh, I think it's this. And it's like, no, it's not you. We need to ask her.
Yeah.
We need to ask this 6-year-old version of yourself, what is it she needed? And she'll tell you.
Yeah. And I'm like very open on this podcast, so happy to discuss me.
Yeah.
So in regards to my childhood, it was very, very strict. I was raised very religious. And so logically, I struggle to be able to change those internal beliefs because it is so far from what my reality possibly could have been.
Yeah.
And so when we are changing those beliefs, we actually have to like bring in another person or completely change the situation.
Yeah, absolutely. And often that's where the struggle lies, but it's about just listening to our inner child and seeing what they need, you know, and the beliefs aren't true. Like they're just not true, but they felt true to us at that time because in those younger years, our logical mind isn't working. Like it's not, you know, created and developed enough for us to really make sense of a situation.
Mm-hmm.
So we often create these stories and beliefs about ourselves. You know, I've often worked with sexual abuse victims who have this belief that they're disgusting and that they're gross because of how they felt at that time.
Yeah.
And that belief that they were violated and they're disgusting and gross isn't true.
Yeah.
But they're still, you know,
carrying it around.
Yeah, like controlling and cleaning everything all the time because they feel dirty.
Mm-hmm.
And it's that when we actually go back and we dissolve those beliefs that it's just it. Yeah, I just feel in awe all of the time on what I see and witness.
And when it comes to EFT or tapping, is there a certain sequence that you follow, or are you able to like give us an example? Obviously, I know, so it's hard because it's like I'm imagining the listeners at home that have never had anything to do with EFT or tapping.
Yeah.
What that looks like, sounds like, a sequence, anything?
Yeah, I'll run you through a sequence. Okay. But what I'm doing as well, which I'll share at the end, is I'm going to start doing free ones on my Instagram.
Oh, how cool. Yeah. So you can actually do that to yourself?
Yeah, you can do EFT. You just can't do the matrix where we got into the memory and do the inner child. You really need someone to hold that space for you.
Yeah.
But the EFT, if you're feeling anxious, we can absolutely tap down on that straight away.
Well, I think I had shared previously that the first time I had ever done a session with you, it left me so shaken. I was so, I felt like I was going to throw up. It was actually my whole body was shaking for the whole day.
A somatic release.
And I just couldn't, I was so cold. And I ended up just staying in bed for like 24 hours afterwards, just being so cold. So I definitely wouldn't do that alone.
You definitely need to someone to hold that space, because you do, because you're releasing energy blocks. So it somatically gets released from your body.
Yeah.
You know, so you'll get cold or you'll get shakes, or the way that your body responds to trauma that it wasn't able to at that time because you were frozen possibly, it's now releasing it. Yeah. So it's beautiful for me to see, but can be kind of like daunting for you to
feel. Was it so beautiful for me?
So the EFT, absolutely, like we can, and that's what I want to do, is I want to teach people to jump on free lives and teach them how we can tap through anxiety or tap through whatever emotion's coming up for them, and they'll get a memory that comes up. But it gets them to be aware then.
Yeah.
Oh, it's actually not me. It's come from this part. And do I need to believe that then? And then they can use like cognitive behavioral therapy, if they've learned that with previous therapists, about how to restructure the thoughts and look for factual information. Or they can do the more intensive work with someone like myself that takes them on that journey, and they can dissolve it straight away.
Awesome. Yeah. So are you going to take us through a sequence?
So we start through, if you Google this process, there's a number of different sequences. I don't think it really matters, but I tend to start with the crown chakra. So we start with the meridian. Mm-hmm. So we do the karate chop, and we start with, say, even though what was, like, give me something that we, even though I have this pain in my stomach, we'll just go with the pain.
Yeah.
Even though I have a pain in my stomach and it's the color blue, and you don't dismiss anything ever.
So Laura will say it, and then I'll say it back is what happens.
Yeah.
So Laura will say, like, even though, and I'm like, even though.
Yeah. And we'll say, even though I have this pain in my stomach, and you say, I have this pain in my stomach, and it's the color blue. And often there's emotions attached to it, and we'll ask, what's the emotion? And you'll tell me it's sadness. Mm-hmm. So even though I have all of this blue sadness in my stomach, and Sophie will repeat that, I choose to love and accept myself anyway, as we're tapping on the meridians here on our karate chop. Mm-hmm. And then we'll repeat that again. But the second time around is, even though I have all of this blue sadness in my stomach, I choose to let that go now. It's safe to let it go. Mm-hmm. And often emotions are evoked in this process, because it's not often that we say we love and accept ourselves, or it's safe to let it go, because it hasn't felt safe to let it go.
Yeah.
But the reason for this is it's a psychological reversal, because our ego part of our brain or our subconscious will try and sabotage.
Yeah.
Which you've probably noticed, that it'll go, oh, but that doesn't make sense.
Yeah. Or I don't want to go there. Yeah. We're not doing that one.
Yeah.
No, different memory.
So we do that as a psychological reversal, so there's no self-sabotaging or limited. Mm-hmm. And then we'll go to the top of the head. You know, even though I have all this blue sadness, it's safe to let it go now. It's free to let it go now. Even though I have all of this blue sadness, I can still choose to love and accept myself anywhere. And we run through the meridians. So it goes from the top of the head is where I normally start, to the forehead, to the side of the eye, to under the eye, under the nose, chin, and then just kind of under the collarbone, under the armpit where the bra strap is for women. And then we'll just do individual fingers, and we'll keep doing that. And what happens when you do EFT is the color may change, or it moves in the body, so we start to chase it. So then you'll repeat the sequence, even though I have this remaining yellow that is now in my chest, and now it feels like anger.
Or even the memory sometimes changes as well.
Yeah.
So sometimes we've started somewhere and then ended up like not there.
And again, it's just guiding you. So you'll remember, I'll ask you, which memory do you want to go into? It's not me saying, oh, I think we should go into this memory. So if that happens, if you ever come across the therapist that tells you or guides you, they shouldn't really be doing that because it's trusting and really listening to what your body's bringing up for you.
That's actually a really good point. Other yeah. than obviously making sure that you have rapport with your therapist and who you choose to work with,
yeah.
what are some really key things to look for when looking for a holistic psychologist?
I would definitely, you know, I love what you just shared about the rapport. Yeah. So you have to feel safe with them.
Yeah.
I think the number one key is feeling seen and heard.
Mm-hmm.
So not judge. You don't have that feeling of judgment.
Yeah.
And even if you do, being safe enough to have that conversation. I think we've even had yeah. that conversation together.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like having that conversation openly. But if your therapist is reactive and gets yeah. really defensive,
yeah.
they've got to do their own inner work. They're not really practicing what they preach. Like, I'm healing weekly.
Yeah.
I try multiple holistic modalities. I do the tapping on myself daily. It's whatever I practice or preach, I definitely practice.
Yeah.
So there shouldn't be any counter transference or projection
yeah.
in your therapy session. So if you're feeling that,
yeah.
I'd really trust your intuition that it's probably not the right fit for you.
Yeah.
But definitely seen, heard, allowed to be who you are is mm-hmm. another thing. So they shouldn't be pushing opinions on you yep. or guiding you down a path.
Yep.
You know, we've had conversations where you're like, I did this today. And I'm like, great. And you're like, really?
Everyone
and I'm
else like, in, yes. Everyone else in my life is like, Sophie, what have you done?
Yeah, well, I see like it's the inner children playing or it's just you being authentic. But because of the stories that we've got taught and these opinions of our parents or our caregivers, we think it's wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, what are some of the results that you've seen in clients? I know we spoke about me. So, yeah, like 2 months ago, I couldn't sleep more than, 90 minutes? Mm. I know one time I know that we were texting all night.
Yeah.
I had nightmares, flashbacks. So in only 2 months, I'm entirely different person.
Yeah.
What are some other like results that you've seen in clients?
The list is amazing. But I think the main part is speaking the truth, which is very difficult. Communicating openly is massive for people and having that block. So often, and this might resonate with a lot of people because it was definitely a part of my journey, feeling paralyzed to say how you feel.
Yeah.
Like you just kind of can't actually say it.
Yeah.
Even though you know it's right and you know that you walk away and you're like, oh, wish I should have said it. Where this time when we actually dissolve the belief, you just say it.
Well, the other thing as well is that when we've worked through something the week before and then you've come back to me and been like, how was your week? I'm like, well, I did this, this and this. And you're like, perfect.
Yeah.
And I know a massive one for me that we worked on fairly early was money.
Yes.
I pay for everybody.
Mm.
And if we go out for dinner, I feel uncomfortable. And I genuinely believed I had money issues.
Yeah, yeah.
And it actually was nothing to do with the money. It was the conflict.
Yeah.
And I avoided conflict like the absolute plague. I would have done anything to avoid conflict.
Yeah.
And in order for me to avoid conflict, I would just pay because I hated anybody having some sort of issue or splitting a bill or doing anything that would make me have to stand up for myself.
Yeah.
And within two weeks, I was like, okay, you get that bill.
Yeah.
But it was so uncomfortable. It was so uncomfortable.
And
I literally was just like, oh.
Yeah, it still is.
Well, apparently not because I walked away on a bill on Saturday night.
But even I remember you wouldn't even receive coffees from people.
No. No one could pay for me.
Yeah, no one could buy you a coffee.
Like, no
and then you were like, oh my God, someone bought me a coffee.
Yeah,
and I didn't even think about it.
I was like, they just bought the coffee and I just let them.
And that's the amazing part of it is that we had this belief and perception that's running our decisions and choices, but because we've got rid of them.
Yeah.
It's only when you reflect back and go, oh my God, that did not even bother me anymore. So it's things like that. It's having set boundaries, firm boundaries around who we are and being okay with that guideline. Open communication. I've seen relationship difficulties dissolve, which has been phenomenal for people. Anxiety, like social anxiety. One of my clients couldn't even walk into a shop.
Yeah, okay.
A lot of issues with physical illness, like she was just terrified.
With that social anxiety,
yeah.
I'm not sure if you can share. Well, that she's anonymous.
Yeah.
What was the original belief or limiting belief for that? Do you remember?
Hers was that she was going to die. So
it
increased during COVID.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so she was going to die. And that came from multiple aspects from when she was younger.
Yeah.
So her going into the shops, like germs and all of that, COVID is inflicting so much fear into everyone that it's literally exaggerating our core beliefs.
Yeah.
So then we become paralyzed with huge social phobias where now she's like, I don't even go to the shop with a mask on.
Yeah, okay.
You know, so it's just completely lifted for her. And it's that I love. It's like you don't have to keep suffering with this that you have for so many years.
And is EFT suitable for everybody? Is there like, yeah. Yep.
Absolutely, yeah. So obviously with children, but mm-hmm. we do surrogacy work. So we actually work on the parent who mm-hmm. goes into the memory and taps on the child.
Okay.
So I've done this with a beautiful friend of mine.
Well, you've tapped with my kids.
Yeah, so. Yeah. Well, I physically tapped on yours, but I think we've spoken that we want to do surrogacy work as well, where you can actually go back because it's energy. Like we're still, you know, if you know quantum physics and science, is that the time and the energy is still there. These inner children and these aspects of us are still living. They're still real.
Yeah.
We just have to go back to them to give them the needs that they needed at that time.
How do you utilize this within your own parenting?
Oh, massively.
You've got a 17-year-old daughter.
Yeah. So I've tapped on her.
Yep.
And she's gone into memories where I have been the person that's caused the belief or been a repercussion of the belief, and which, as you can imagine, as a parent, God, that's
well, I think, we know this because this is me with Kai and I'm like, welcome.
But I think the beauty in that is that it was such a powerful experience because she could hear my voice. So it was me in the memory when she was really little and she could hear me guiding her. So she had a memory around she couldn't support me. She couldn't speak up for me. She was three. Yeah. So she wanted to support me in that time because I was in a domestic violent relationship. And what I was doing is she just felt like she couldn't do it. So now, even when there's conflict around her, she'll just be quiet.
Yeah.
So it's a belief that I can't speak up.
Yeah.
Where we dissolve that belief and she's completely changed even in her relationships at school. So the way that my parenting has changed massively, you know, because I had Elise when I was 21 and Lockie when I was 34, mm-hmm. Is very different. Both of them are amazing humans, but very different in the way they were brought up. So I'm doing a lot of work with Elise, even though she's amazing. You know, there's nothing huge there that we need to work on. She's very open to it. So we go back to these memories and these aspects, which are beautiful, and that I can hold this space and not shame and blame myself and go, well, it's part of her journey and that's okay. And now I get to help her with that.
And
which is amazing.
Given you have a 4-year-old, are you able to tap on him or is that too young? You have to do surrogacy work.
Yeah, he doesn't let me.
Yeah, okay.
He let me do it once. So the whole process of this energy work is that people need to be open to it. People need to offer permission. So if they're too young to offer permission, we can't do it. So Lockie can speak. And I remember doing it on him once and he just, his whole shoulders, like you see, that's the beauty in it. You see the whole energy release on the spot and the whole body just relaxes.
Yeah.
But he says, don't tap on me. Don't tap on me, Mum. So he doesn't let me, but I can definitely go into memories for him. There was one that I wasn't actually there, but I could envision it. And he told me how we felt in the memory. So I went back in there to tap on him.
Awesome. That's so cool. Mm. When we first opened up the episode today, you mentioned that there was a lot of clients that had been seeing therapists for like 8 or 9 years and just not getting results or not having to go back every single week.
Yeah.
With EFT, you do like 3-month packages and hopefully that's it.
Yeah.
Is that the beauty of this? Like you go back, dissolve all the limiting beliefs, do a top up once a year or
absolutely. So I believe in intense therapy. So often you might find that with a psychologist's wait list and there's, you know, you have to wait 6 weeks before each session and then the sessions are only for 50, 60 minutes. Mm-hmm. And for me, that didn't make sense that you can unpack trauma and then, you know, you're opening Pandora's box and then being like, okay, well, I'll see you in 3 weeks.
Yeah.
So for me, it's like, well, I just want to create change for these people to stop suffering. So it's at least 90 minutes per week. It's weekly sessions for a minimum of 3 months.
Yep.
And if people need to continue after that, then beautiful, because things come up during the week. But sometimes it's just a top up once a month, whenever you feel like it. But the thing is that we learn to become our own self-healers.
Yep.
We recognize it. We become more conscious to our beliefs and our patterns that we're able to change them on the spot. But sometimes it gets stuck and that's fine and we learn to release it in different ways.
It's so good. It is so good.
Yeah.
You mentioned that you're going to be doing some free live IG tapping sessions.
Yes.
Do you offer, obviously you're Gold Coast based.
Yeah.
Do you offer anything other than face-to-face at the moment? Do you have online courses? How can people find you and get in touch with
Absolutely.
You?
Absolutely. I work globally, so I do it over telehealth. Mm-hmm. So I work with people in England and different states around Australia, which is amazing. Mm-hmm. I do have online programs, and every so often I run 5-day free programs because I just love to give value.
Yeah.
People get so much out of it.
Your Instagram is really good resource. Yeah. You share a lot of information on there.
Yeah, because it's empowering people that, you know, we're not broken. We're actually just on a journey where we need to heal to then be able to lift up and rise and share our own gifts with the world, which is the most amazing part of all of this. And it's in that I was like, I reached out and was like, does anybody want to do EFT over lives? So I'm going to try and make it a weekly thing where I jump on and we just go through a session with everyone, but they'll just have to fill in the blanks at home. I'll just take them through the sequence and we'll keep doing it. So hopefully
I can't wait for that. That'll be so cool.
Yes. Yeah. So that's the EFT part.
Yeah.
Yeah, if we want to go into the memory, I'd absolutely recommend getting a therapist for that and holding safe space because we don't know what's going to come up.
Do you do live sessions, like one-on-one sessions online?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, cool. Absolutely.
And what's your website, Instagram handle? Where can people find you?
Instagram is at Her Successful Mind. Mm-hmm. And my website is www.lauracorcoran.com.au. But if you actually go into my Instagram, it's in my link in my bio anyway, everything, space that you can contact me.
Amazing. Yes. Thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure. Thanks so much for sharing all this amazing stuff with the world.
Thank you. Now, this week's bookworm that I am loving is an oldie but a goodie. It is Loving What Is by Byron Katie. And if you guys would like to get involved, you can always call up, leave an episode request or question on 07564968 51. And to continue the conversation, we'll be over on the Facebook group, which is Flourish and Fulfilled, or on Instagram, Flourish and Fulfilled. See you guys next week.